One of the things we learned from Sunday's gospel, the story of the workers in the vineyard, is that the owner of the vineyard spends a lot of time finding more workers. It seems that in that parable anyway, that's all he does is go out and find workers and send them into the vineyard. All day long, he keeps hiring more workers. Now, that's not the main point of that parable, but it's one of the points. God wants more workers for the vineyard, for his kingdom. In today's gospel, Jesus summons the 12. These are his chosen apostles, and he sends them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. It's the same truth about what it means to belong to God revealed in the parable on Sunday and here in the gospel. The parable, of course, is a symbolic sending, but this is a real sending. He really sent the 12 out to do the mission. And it's not only for the 12. I mean, they had their unique version of what it meant to be sent, but everyone who belongs to God is sent. It's just a normal part of being a disciple. In fact, there are two dimensions of being a disciple, and this comes up all the time. There's the call, that there's the invitation to be a follower, and then there is the sending, the mission. To be called is to be sent. To be a disciple is to be a missionary. And that's the term Pope Francis often uses when he describes Christians. Every Christian is a missionary disciple. Every Christian is called, is a follower, is a receiver, and every Christian is sent, is a giver, is a missionary, an instrument, a representative of God in the world. Now, when you think of it that way, I hope you realize right away that both of these dimensions, regarding both of these dimensions, we are not qualified. Anyone who knows that God is calling him or her should realize immediately that the call is not the result of our being worthy of it or our being qualified. Just like the 12. No one is qualified. No one deserves to be chosen. The reason we're chosen is because God is a chooser. God is a lover, and love moves him to extend himself to everybody. Even the what would seem like the least qualified, the worst, that doesn't stop God at all. And that's why in that parable on Sunday, it's actually quite accurate to see him hiring workers all day long. So even the least qualified workers, the people who can't do any work at all, or who are just sitting around all day, well, that doesn't stop the Lord from calling them or calling us. No matter what we did yesterday or last year or 10 or 20 years ago, he calls us today. Like, whether it's dawn or 9 in the morning or 5 in the afternoon, it doesn't make any difference to God. He calls us anyway. So regarding our being called, it has nothing to do with us in a sense, except we are the ones who have to respond. When it comes to the other dimension, the being sent, well, we're not qualified for that either. I'm sure the 12 had this experience when they were sent out. They probably said to themselves, why is he sending us out? We're not ready. We don't know everything yet. We don't have the capability yet. We're still in training. And I think if you reflect on your own experience of being sent out or being called to do anything, you're not ready, not qualified. There's a lot more that should be done before you get sent. And there are other people who seem much better qualified than you. And why doesn't God send them? But that's how he does it. I'm sure every married person knows this, because marriage is vocation. And usually when people get married, they think they're ready, but they discover very quickly that no, they're not. No, they're not ready. No, they're not qualified. They don't know how to live together. They don't know how to raise the children. Of course they don't. No one's qualified for such a great work, for such a great mission. That's okay. God calls people anyway. So that awareness, I'm just using marriage as an example because it's so close to home. Every parent gets to the point where he or she says, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's the best way to raise these children. But God gives them to you anyway. So that's why it's very important, whether we're reflecting on being a disciple or being a missionary, whether we're reflecting on being called or being sent, we have to keep falling back on our absolute dependence on God. Never to think that we're good enough or we're capable or we're qualified. Because once we start putting the focus on ourselves, it's a disaster. So Jesus, in this gospel, very deliberately keeps the disciples from any sense that they have what they need to do the job. Don't take anything for the journey. Don't take a walking stick, nothing to lean on. Don't take a sack, nothing to provide for you. Don't take any food. Don't take any money. Don't take a second tunic. Talk about poverty. Talk about helplessness. Talk about absolute dependence. That's what he's giving as the basic criteria for being a missionary. It's really radical. Radical dependence on God and on the people whom God sends to provide for us. So we're not alone. God doesn't just throw us out into the desert to starve and die of thirst. No, he sends us with a mission, and he makes it possible for us to do the mission, but it's not that it's possible on our own strength. So that's very, very clear. You might think of your own journeys, you know, how did God send you? When did he call you? Where did he send you? With whom and to whom? As I was reflecting on this morning, I actually thought of Pete. I hope you don't mind me using this example, because it was exactly 1 year ago that I was in the hospital for my angiogram. And I remember thinking, man, I didn't know I was going to be in this situation. I was preparing for a trip to the States, and all of a sudden I found myself in the hospital. And because of COVID, nobody could go into the hospital to accompany me except someone who had been tested. It happened to be Pete. And then I was surprised to have an overnight visit to the hospital, but he had an overnight visit too. So we were both sent to the hospital. And what kind of a mission is that? I remember the helplessness, like he strapped you down, you know, so you don't move your arm and all these things. They strip you, have no clothes on. There's a sense of being like helpless and poor when you're in a hospital bed. But that's where God sent me. For some reason, it came to my mind, and he said, "Well, who did he send me with?" Well, it happened to be Pete. I think he got a better sleep than I did. But anyway, you might think of these. And that's why maybe it's an example that comes to mind, because we think of missionaries as going to far off places, to strange people, and you know, speaking exotic languages and things. But that's not usually how it is. It's more often with the people in your own family, your husbands, your wives, your children, your neighbors, the people that are with you every day. And it's not necessarily to strange places. It's where you work, it's where you serve, it's where you study, it's where you live. That's the mission territory. And the people he sends us to are pretty much the same people he sent us to yesterday, for the most part. So we shouldn't think that being a missionary is just for people who are very far away, doing very unusual things. No, this is normal Christianity, Jesus is talking about. This is normal discipleship. That means what is part of what we consider our normal life is our mission. Okay, now let's get a lesson from this first reading, which is certainly connected to it. We're reading again from the book of Ezra. And Ezra expresses the absolute devastation that sin has caused on him and for him and his people. He describes it very colorfully. I rose in my wretchedness, my clothes are torn, and I'm too ashamed to even lift my hands and my eyes to you. our guilt is has piled up, our sins have piled up so high they reach all the way to heaven. We're absolutely reduced, and it's our own fault. That's Ezra. He'd been delivered up, and we deserved it. Sword, pillage, captivity, disgrace. That's what we deserved. That's what we got. And that's about as good as it's going to get on our own, until he says, but wait a minute. Even though that's our condition, talk about poverty, not only do we not have the things that Jesus mentioned in the gospel, but we've lost the things that we used to have because of our own sin and because of the sin condition of the human family. And Ezra says, wait a minute. Even though that's really the case, even though we're really a mess, God looks on us with mercy. He sees our condition, and he decides to send us. In the case of Ezra, they were sent from exile in Persia and Babylon, and wherever they were exiled, they were sent back home. They were sent home to rebuild what had been torn down, the temple and the city of Jerusalem and the whole Jewish society. So you see this same combination of absolute disqualification and being sent anyway. You see this in Ezra. I think that it applies to the apostles, and it applies to all of us and every disciple. We don't have much to go on, and even what we do have to go on is damaged by sin. And not so much so that if we were to just focus on that, we would despair of the project from the beginning. It's impossible. That's why we don't focus on that, because we're not depending on ourselves anyway. We focus on the great mercy of God, the beauty of what God has in mind and what he's already done for us, and we're with gratitude and with joy, we say, wow, God really wants us to be part of his great project. He doesn't seem to mind that we're a mess. He wants us to stand up and keep going. Yes, yes. It's a great privilege to be called. It's a great privilege to be sent. We don't have anything to complain about. We don't waste our time comparing ourselves to what other people have or don't have, or wondering why he didn't call us earlier in the morning, or why he's calling us later, why other people are called when they're called. Why bother thinking about all that? The better thing is to recognize what a treasure it is to be called, to be one of God's children, and to be given a share in the building up of his kingdom. Even if it seems to us like we're doing something absolutely insignificant, like lying in a bed, or preparing somebody's breakfast, or something that doesn't seem very holy or significant, even if it seems so insignificant, what a privilege it is to have a part, even a small part, in the building up of the kingdom. So let us go forth proclaiming the good news together with the whole church.